I have been working with the HIV Connection for almost 5 years now, and one of the most disturbing things I have learned about HIV during that time is how ignorance and fear create stigma and discrimination against those living with or affected by HIV/AIDS. If you find out that your neighbor or your friend or your relative has cancer, you will usually go to him and say, and listen to him or her and feel compassionate and support them. If it's HIV that someone has, very often people have to hide it, and they carry their burden alone. And that's something that I'm really concerned about. But thanks to people like Doug, who are willing to stand up and talk about HIV and how it affects them, we are able to raise awareness and hopefully reduce some of that stigma and discrimination. Doug is ready to answer your questions regarding HIV and how it affects Alberta, how it has affected him and his friends. We would appreciate if you could come to the microphone, introduce yourself before asking your question, and if possible, keep it to one question at a time. So I will ask Doug to come back, and if you have a question, please line up.
First of all, let me tell you a few myths about the HIV virus. Okay? Can't get it from kissing. Can't get it from shaking my hand, or hugging me, or sitting in the same room, or me coughing on you. Okay? The only way to get it from me is if I was to have anal sex with you, which is not going to happen. Or for me to give you my blood, which is not going to happen, because I'm infected. You're not going to get it from shaking my hand. I've had medical professionals, when I was at my very first symposium out at the Qualitative Health Methodology Symposium in Banff, and doctors from all over the world were coming up to me saying, you know, after learning and listening to you, I don't want to just shake your hand, I want to hug you. And those are things that mean that I've you know, made an impact. So I'd like to shake you guys' hands when you're ready.
Wow, here we go.
Okay, thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you so much for speaking today. Now, two things I'd like further clarification. Oh, I'm Ruth Alzinga, sorry. Thank you for asking. I sometimes forget myself. Two things. One is the sneezing thing. I kind of raised, I thought, really? And just now you said you can't get from kissing, but sneezing. Now, I'd like clarification of that. And the other is you seem to be a medical miracle. In as much as the doctor gave you quite a devastating prognosis, and yet through the medications that you shared, you said now your blood is it'd be undetected. So are we to understand then if HIV is treated properly, AIDS would not be an issue?
So there are two questions.
Okay.
Sorry,
Two questions. Okay. To clarify the sneezing, I was basically emphasizing the particulate matter of a sneeze. There's very, very minute forms of blood content in a sneeze, but there is, because it depends on if you have sores in your nasal passages or not. There's never been a case of AIDS or HIV transmitted through sneezing or coughing or kissing or anything like that. So there's never been that. As far as being a medical miracle, I basically do what I'm not supposed to do. I smoke cigarettes. I'm not allowed to drink, but you know, I might have the odd glass of brandy with my mother. I don't do any street drugs. I smoke marijuana. It's prescribed to me from a doctor. Took a long time to actually ascertain that fact from the Canadian government. I didn't choose this, and if I had any choice, it wouldn't be this. So I'm kind of caught in what you call a catch-22 circle. It was given to me, I didn't want it, now I got it, I have to deal with it. Okay? So my circle is going to be endless.
But can drugs keep AIDS at bay?
Well, right now, with the development of all the proper medications for the HIV virus, it is not considered a terminal illness now. It's considered a chronic illness. So we're hoping now, and I pray to God and the Great Spirit, that people adhere to their medications so that they do not develop AIDS. And that's the only way to prevent AIDS.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You gotta give me a hug.
Thank you.
Douglas Mitchell. Doug, I really appreciate your honesty and frankness in coming to present to us your story. I've got a lot of questions I might ask. I just wanted to say something about the global situation and the fact that we have a minuscule problem here, percentage-wise, but nonetheless, people like Doug have experienced all of it. And the question I really have is, when we hear about the horrendous situation, particularly in Africa, but also in India and I'm sure China as well, I just would like to ask you, where would you be without the medication and the care and support that you've received in that regard, and how much, if anything, is it costing you for the medication that you receive?
First of all, if I wasn't on any medication, I'd be dead. Plain and simple. I'd have expired a long time ago. Because of the rapid mutation of this virus, you can die within 2 years of diagnosis. Some people, I know one other person right now is 26 years positive, no names, and his health is impaired right now, but he's still doing fine. Okay? So if I didn't have any medications, I would be dead. Next question. Cost. The cost for HIV medications in Canada is free. Anybody that is infected with HIV in Canada is provided medication by Health Canada. Okay? Now, in other countries, that's a different story. And that really discourages me, because other people that do not have life as well as we know are suffering thrice what we are, because they can afford it to live with food, let alone medication, let alone housing. So, because it's a multi-billion dollar industry, we've got to look at all these multi-million dollar moguls and say, hey, look here, this is a global pandemic. It's all over this world. And in order to squash it, we need to medicate it. And until we can squash it and medicate it to the point where the prevalence factor of this virus is declining, it'll be out there thriving and doing well. And I hate saying that statement.
Terry Shillington, thank you for your sharing and your presentation. We had quite a bit of conversation at our table around why the rate of infection is different in different parts of the province, and why, if we heard you rightly, the rate of infection in the capital region is largest, and what factors would lead to that, or is it just a case of where the most reporting happens?
Okay. Again, I have to deal with the fact that we're looking at cities comparing to towns, and it's comparing to the clientele, whether or not they're drug users, or they're promiscuous, or they're two-spirited, homosexual, or lesbian. People that are in the country have to come to the city. And when they come to the city, there's a lot more promiscuity going on. And, you know, that's inevitable. That's why it's a city. I mean, everything is available there. And in the small rural communities, there's really nothing there. So more people are being transported or transporting themselves into the city, and they get kind of lost and caught up. as far as the people in smaller community, I've been up to Wabasca, which is north of Saddle Lake in a small Aboriginal community, and it was devastating to see that they were putting billboards up there about cigarette ads for children when they should have been putting billboards up there for HIV ads for prevention. So the further you go, the less it's known about it. So when people come into the cities, into the larger communities, they might have heard about the HIV virus, but they don't know anything about it.
Thanks very much for your talk. Reading through some of the articles in today's paper, today being, as Elaine says, World AIDS Day, I was struck that, if I remember the figures correctly, within Canada, there are 56,000 people infected with HIV, of which 17,000 don't know they're infected. I mean, that is the estimate. I mean, almost one-third of those infected don't know. Do you know what is being done in high schools in terms of education? I mean, are there the type of awareness lectures that you've so given us so well today? Thank you.
As a matter of fact, I was just out in the Banff-Camore corridor speaking to the Banff High School children and the Camore High School children. So there is programs, and I'm glad to see that Alberta has initiated this for all public schools. I remember growing up in elementary school in Toronto. The first thing you'd go into school, everybody would say the Lord's Prayer. Well, that's out the window now. So now we've got to start bringing in health issues. Okay? And the best place to start is in the classroom with our elementary school kids, because they're sponges. Okay? They lap up more information than most of us will retain from this conference here right now. Okay? I've had kids out in Banff ask more prominent questions than the high school kids or the college kids. Okay? So the younger kids want to know, and it's best if we as the community at large put it out in all of our schools, in all of our avenues for children. Okay? Thanks.
Are there any other questions? Today you have been touched by HIV. You may never have attended a presentation. You may never have seen someone who said, I have HIV, but there are people in Lethbridge, in all our rural communities around us who have HIV. They may be your neighbors. They may be your colleagues. They may sit beside you at church, but they don't want to tell you because they're scared of what you may say or whether you may want to sit with them. I do hope that today you have learned something and that we have helped decrease some of your fears. And if we have done so, I encourage you to take a little red ribbon on the outside and wear it this afternoon when you go to work, when you go meet other people, and tell them, I have been on a presentation for World AIDS Day, and I believe that it's important to raise the issue of HIV in Alberta, in Lethbridge. Thank you so much. So there's one more question.
Thank you for your talk. I'm Georgie Harper. I'd like to know if there's any stigma or political resentment to what you're trying to do and how you are able to talk to school children, because I think that's where to start.
Personally, I think that if any government official has a problem with me talking about this virus, tough luck. Tough luck. I don't really care who hears me, how they hear me, or how it's received. My point and my principle and where I get off is knowing that I've made an impact and a statement and I've affected somebody somehow. Thank you very much.
Am I allowed one more question?
Go ahead.
Ruth Alzinga, my question to you. You had mentioned that you smoke marijuana as a medicinal purposes. How does that get distributed from the, because it's covered by the government, how does that work?
It took me a couple of years to advocate for the use of medicinal marijuana. And I did it not just for the AIDS patients of this world, but I did it for all the other patients that are suffering and do not want to take narcotics. Okay? It's through Health Canada. It's a program called Access to Medicinal Marijuana, and it's easily to obtain. It's the telephone number is 1-866-337-7705. And how I can remember that number so well is that every conference that I go to, I get ample people running up to me and saying, Douglas, can you help me? I'm sick and I'm having lots of side effects. So what I do is I tell them, look, you can get medicinal marijuana. And the government ships it to you in a bag like this. And it tells you all the ingredients of the marijuana, the THC factors. And I do not share this with anybody because it's a medication. Okay? So I'm not at liberty to go say, hey, come on, let's go outside and smoke a joint. And I get lots of people saying, come on, Doug, let's go smoke a joint. Well, two wrongs don't make a right. Okay? So my medication is mine. I don't share. And to get this, you have to go through a lot of processes. You have to get your doctor. Before it had to be an infectious disease specialist that would sign all your papers to receive medicinal marijuana. Now, through the aid of advocacy, on my part and a couple of 100,000 other people, it takes any MD to sign a paper. But there has to be a criteria. Okay? And if you match that medical criteria, you'll be prescribed medical marijuana. And if you do get it, don't abuse it, because you're liable to lose it. It's a privilege. So it's a privilege from the Canadian government to be given marijuana because of the stigma that's attached to that alone. Okay? Does that answer your question?
Yes, I find it curious because drugs basically...
Well, people say that marijuana is a stepping stone to other drugs. Well, I call that a fallacy. I think that if you're going to go there, you're going to go there regardless if you're drinking alcohol or having a joint, you know. It's personal will. And if you're a strong person, you know, you just won't go there. You won't get HIV. You won't have to suffer like this and take drugs and smoke pot. No worries.
Any other question? Well, you chose the easy pop. There was also an AIDS walk today at lunch, going from Golf Garden to the Friendship Center. You chose the warm, cozy place, and I thank you for coming. There will be a memorial service this evening to remember in memory of World AIDS Day. It's going to be at the St. Augustine Church at 7 o'clock, and Douglas is also going to be our speaker there. And then tomorrow at the Lodge, there is going to be an Aboriginal Youth Conference on HIV, Hep C, and harm reduction. So you can still go register at the door. So if you do know about someone who is interested, tell them to go to the Lodge at 8:30. And again, don't forget your red ribbon. And I wish you a very good afternoon. Yes.